to NCTNI Presents Boobcast with Katie and Kifa. We're both NCT qualified breastfeeding counsellors with five children between us and wide-ranging breastfeeding experiences. On this podcast, we'll be delving into some of the topics that come up most regularly when we talk to parents.
On today's topic, we're going to be talking about introducing solids, which is something that every parent will come across and up against, but at times this can feel like an even bigger milestone for the breastfeeding mum. In our experience with working alongside mums, whenever they come up to face these challenges, we've found that at times there's that underlying fear of what this actually means for their breastfeeding journey.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk around slowing down breastfeeding, stopping breastfeeding, you know, that it will make things easier for other people looking after the baby. Things that may happen that, you know, it may help, but it's not necessarily going to be a fix-all for things like that. And, you know, some of the other topics that come up are things like sleep, you know, that it will magically improve sleep. And there's so many emotions wrapped up in this new chapter of having a baby. You've done 6 months of exclusively breastfeeding. You may have had a really hard time getting to that point. And for then solids to be solved for things that people perceive to be problems, it can be really tough and really emotional.
Definitely. And that's something that I think we have found time and time again, is never mind the practicalities and the concerns around what you're going to feed your child and how it should be cut up, and that debate over baby led or spoon feeding. You know, you've got this world of emotion that seems to be endlessly tied up with breastfeeding, and that worry that if I start to introduce solids, then does that mean my baby no longer needs me? I think we could definitely start by saying rarely is that a result of introducing solids.
Yeah, very rarely. I mean, you'd have to be really making a concerted effort to stop breastfeeding at the same time as starting solids for that to really become a reality. I think that's true for most people. And the actual introducing of solids is probably going to change your breastfeeding patterns a little bit, but shouldn't change them too much straight away. And because your baby's really still very much dependent on the breast milk and the nutrients in the breast milk, and you know, the guidance is to introduce complementary foods from 6 months.
Yeah.
That guidance has not changed since 2001, so it's
well established.
20 years in the making. Well established, despite lots of people having opinions on whether that's right or wrong. That is what the NHS and the World Health Organization and, you know, the American Pediatric Society recommend, and that's not going to go away.
But I think that's true. You know, there's that saying that food before one is just for fun, and that's obviously debated, and there's research around it. But the reality is that, you know, babies under two really can get everything they need from your breast milk, and your breast milk doesn't diminish in its nutritional value the minute you start to offer your baby vegetables and a piece of pasta.
Yeah. So the point is really that they should continue together for at least a year.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the World Health Organization recommends breastfeeding 2 years at least.
I love that thought of it being complementary, you know, in addition to breastfeeding. And I think that's a really lovely way to bring the topic up or offer the topic to mums that are maybe concerned or having reservations about how this would impact their breastfeeding journey. You know, it's not like all of a sudden you have to find a new way to parent because breastfeeding no longer counts, even though, you know, we know that society has that perception that, oh, they're 6 months now, you need to stop breastfeeding. Oh, they're having meals throughout the day, so you're no longer breastfeeding, are you? Even the idea that it's quite a quick transition, or it has to be a quick transition from breast milk all day long to all of a sudden having three full meals is not really relevant,
not
or
realistic.
It shouldn't cause alarm or concern if that mum is feeling as though she isn't in a position to offer a solid meal three times a day, that she can take it at hers and her child's pace.
I think the reality of, and you know, speaking to mums, this is, it comes up time and time again, is that the reality of adding in food to 6 month old or 7 month old's diet is really difficult. Mm. There's different ways that it can be difficult. And you touched on there about sometimes it's you know, for parents, that transition of providing food that, you know, they feel is right for their child, you know, not necessarily wanting to add in packets, for example, feeling like they want to, especially with your first child, you have this feeling that you want to add only organic, you know, the most nutritional food. And that can be a real pressure. You feel like it should be all be handmade and it should be, you know, lovingly created. And, you know, it's quite a big pressure then to put that on yourself. And then I have to, you know, follow through on it when, as if you've got a 6 month old, you know, that age it's intense.
Mm-hmm.
They're learning a lot. The reason why you're introducing solids is because they're much more aware of what's going on around them. They've got their head control and, you know, they're starting to sit up and maybe even crawling. And so there's a lot going on with a baby that age. And, you know, you're suddenly realizing that you can't put them down on their own. You just rush to the kitchen and, you know, take a few minutes to do something and, you know, you can leave them on a mat and they'll be okay, or in a bouncer. Finding that they're much more aware that you're not there.
Yeah. Or they're maybe starting to roll over and not quite they were where you left them two minutes beforehand. And like you say, it's such a huge developmental stage that it's just layer upon layer of newness for them. And you're their safety. Boobs and breastfeeding is also their safe space. So for all of a sudden, for people to think that once you introduce solids, then that's them, they're good to go to whoever, isn't always, or I would say very rarely, how it would ever work. And you just find, especially with your first, it's so unknown. You have all these expectations about what introducing solids is going to mean for you, expectations and apprehensions. And then you've got every TV show saying how you need to produce organic food. And it's just more pressure that as a new mum, you tend to heap upon yourself.
Yeah. And then when you start talking about it with other people, and people are always, once they get to sort of 4 or 5 months, there's really a pressure. And I don't think most people really mean it as, you know, to put pressure on you. They're just, it's something to talk about. It's like sleep.
Pass comment on.
You know, they get to a certain age and the next question is, oh, have they started on solids? Oh, have you thought about giving them chips? Have you thought about giving them this?
Oh, they look hungry. Oh, they're so, oh, look at them watching you eat. Like, well, yeah but you could give them anything to gnaw on and they'd be totally contented. People are, and I maintain this from the minute a baby is born, people are obsessed with feeding that child. And in the early days, they're obsessed with offering a bottle and being able to have that physical contact through feeding a bottle. And they don't understand why a mum would want to breastfeed. And then they get to like 4 months and they're dying to give them a taste of ice cream and a taste of chocolate. And I find it, and I think I still do, find it quite difficult to be like downright, do not offer that to my child. Even though I should be confident in doing that because they're my child And I'm really like envious of people who can be so adamant and sure of what they're doing. And I think, you know, potentially giving yourself the opportunity to read around what is talked about and kind of filtering out what you don't want to hear or finding what fits right for you can help potentially empower that the mum, but it's still really hard.
Yeah, there's a lot of things like, oh, are you spoon feeding or are you baby led weaning? Normally say you're baby led weaning, somebody who's a bit older, they sort of think, oh well, you need to do the purees first, mm-hmm. and you need to do the blending and all of that kind of thing. And there can be sort of a generational divide there. Mm. And then that can also play a part in, you know, the guilt and the worry and the anxiousness that comes with giving babies food for the first time. And you're worried about them choking anyway. And you're worried about that, you know, maybe they won't take to it. You know, you hear that quite a lot.
Yeah.
That's something else, is that, you know, it's a transition for the baby. They're, as we said earlier, they're learning so many things all at once anyway. And to introduce food, sometimes it can be just a step too far for them.
Yeah. And especially if it's introduced with, at times, the mentality of removing removing a milk feed. But what we need to remember is that breastfeeding is so much more than just food, and it's something that I keep coming back to, you know, whenever people compare it to bottle feeding. It's not a direct comparison, because there's other layers there that is offered to that child. And so, you know, by feeling that pressure that, oh, if I'm giving them lunch at 12:30 and we would have normally had a feed at that time, then I can't or I shouldn't. But the reality is that, you know, the baby will probably look for that reassurance that being at mum's breast gives to them in order to allow them to be curious about food or whatever you're trying to offer them after that.
Yeah, and the other side of that coin is then that offering the food then is, it's not necessarily about them eating the food, it's about them learning about textures and tastes and, you know, the way that the food feels in their hands and on their face and even, you know, the learning how to put it in their mouth. You know, they'll very often just play with it for a little while, but that's all part of the learning of food. And it doesn't have to be, you know, that they start on a full meal and they eat everything on their plate. It can be successful if they're just playing with the food and they maybe would taste a little bit.
And they're happy to sit. And for me, removing the emotional aspect of what introducing solids could potentially be, the sheer joy of being able to watch your child as they discover new things for the first time is pretty amazing. And I love being able to watch them experience different tastes and sensations and, you know, giving them that time without pressure on them, which in turn removes the pressure off me.
And in that, then it's really reassuring that you can offer a breastfeed and know that they're getting all the nutrients that they're supposedly supposed to be getting from the food.
Yeah.
And it's comforting for them, and it's comforting for you as a parent to think, do you know what? They've had fun. They've enjoyed it. They've tried a little bit. And a lot of it's fun on the floor. Unfortunately, it happens. Especially when you spent a lot of time making.
Well, that's it. Exactly.
But it's really nice that, you know, you get that reassurance that they're still getting all they need, but they're also starting to enjoy things, and they're starting to, their personality is starting to show through, and, you know, the way they are as people. And, you know, part of that is, you know, when they start eating food, you can sort of see what kind of person they're going to be you know, there's some really nice parts of mm-hmm. just letting them
yeah
see what they think.
I know, and now's the time to introduce all those different flavors and tastes, and obviously there's guides to suggest what and when if you choose to go down those routes, but just kind of following, being sensible and following what feels right for you never ceases to amaze me. And you know, thinking about my own journeys as well, how you know, as a new mum, we almost seek permission to, you read that you should do things a certain way, and at so many months the baby should be having 3 meals and 3 snacks, and so many mums are like, I don't really know how I fit this into my day, and then if I don't want it to impact my breastfeeding journey, or have been trying to encourage my child to have a snack or to sit alongside me at lunchtime and eat, but they just want to breastfeed. It comes back to women parents being able to trust themselves. You know, if it doesn't sit right, or you want to breastfeed your child because they're really tired and you know that they'll go to sleep even if it is snack time, then that's okay to do.
Yeah, and it's really about removing, you know, the must-dos and mm-hmm. just thinking about what actually is working and what they like and what they're used to. Mm-hmm. And really, there's very, very few children that will continue to breastfeed a lot more than they eat solid food.
Yeah.
But it's a transition for them that mm-hmm. takes quite a long time. Yeah. And some babies, it does take them over a year, 18 months to really get into the swing of, you know, proper meals and snacks and a good ratio of food.
Mm-hmm.
And by that point, often breastfeeding is just accompanying that. So there has been a kind of a switch.
Mm-hmm.
But it comes at different times for different people. Yeah. And some children will take a lot of solid food from the very, very beginning, but mm-hmm. the reality is that most don't.
Yeah.
And it's a very gradual process.
Mm-hmm. And what you might find is that some weeks they'll really enjoy having solid foods, but then on those weeks where they're teething or not feeling great, or you know, they're in a leap or some sort of other transitionary developmental stage, they'll not want to be bothered with the effort of eating solids. They'll want to, you know, have the snuggles and have breast milk and be in their safe space again. And then once that's passed, you know, the solid journey picks back up again.
Yeah, and it's very much like it goes up and down, and it's not linear. It will continue
mm-hmm.
to change. And it does change then even as they get older, and, you know, whether they continue breastfeeding or not, there's still very big developmental changes that happen in children. And alongside that, you know, their food tastes change. And I mean, I was definitely one of those smug parents with my first child, thinking, oh, he's eating loads. And then, you know, he hit 2 and would eat very, very little of the things that I was cooking and only really wanted certain things. You know, he's made his way back, and mm-hmm. it's just one of those things that happens with children.
Yeah.
You know, they're interested in something for a while and then they're not as interested, and it can be really difficult to kind of step back and just think, it's fine, it's okay. And there's also this sleep aspect as well. We were talking about earlier, when, you know, when you're thinking about introducing solids for the first time, very, very often, if you have a child who is not sleeping in the way that society expects them to sleep, is not the normal way for babies to sleep, but it's the way that lots of people, especially old ladies in the supermarket, think that babies should sleep, solids are the fix-all too.
Yep, exactly. Like, it's crazy to think that the answer really does lie in solids. And, you know, that's at times whenever you're in that 4-month sleep regression and you're so exhausted. And then all of a sudden, the wee suggestions of, would you give them a feed of Weetabix or porridge or baby rice at bedtime? It'll help them sleep. And so whenever you're sleep deprived and everyone's telling you that something's wrong with your child because they're not sleeping as society expects, then you're going to be feeling this pressure. And then at times, you know, you'll have healthcare professionals offering the introduction of solids to achieve other things, and it's very, very difficult, even though, you know, the science shows that breast milk is the most calorific thing a baby can get. It offers all their nutrition, and still we have this naive illusion of a solid meal that will solve so many woes.
It just doesn't make any sense that a breastfeed with all of its benefits can then be taken away and put in, and, you know, a bit of broccoli and a bit of potato or something just is a substitute. It's very, very strange to think like that. And, you know, as adults, we don't consider food in that way. You know, we try and have a much more balanced diet, and, you know, to just introduce a vegetable in place of a breastfeed, it just seems really strange.
Yeah.
You know, the thing about, you know, baby rice and things like that, filling them up, it might fill them up for a little while, but there's also not really much nutrition in it.
No.
Whether you choose to give that to your baby or not, that's absolutely, you know, up to you. Whatever you, in terms of, you know, a healthcare professional giving the advice that a baby rice will help your baby sleep, it's way off the mark.
Yeah.
Most people think.
I know. It's just crazy that even nowadays, whenever there even is such a narrative in society about healthy eating and the benefits and ensuring you do have that nutritional, this was widespread nutritional intake, breast milk offers all those things to an infant. And the fact that we're still running with this narrative that introducing potatoes and those heavy carb loaded or vegetables will make such a difference in your life. And I feel as though it is more about what parent needs slightly more than what the baby needs at times, if it's in around sleep. And that again is so emotionally driven. Whenever you're so exhausted and you'd give anything for 3 or 4 hours solid sleep,
you do try anything, and yeah, when it doesn't work, it's so crushing,
it's
because
devastating.
You feel like that was your one chance to get it right.
Yeah.
And it didn't work.
And then you start to feel guilty, and it brings up all these lovely emotions that we have talked about before. I suppose whenever, like everything in regards to parenthood and breastfeeding and what you choose to do, it needs to sit right with you and your family. And so encouraging people to look for reputable, reliable sources so they can get balanced information and decide for themselves.
There are really good sources for getting that information. You know, there's the Solid Starts app, and there's NHS guidance. Amy Bryan's really good on starting solids. She's got a really good book called Why Starting Solids Matters. Mm-hmm. And it goes through like some of the history of why we introduce foods at certain points, and some of the things that maybe have happened with regards to companies marketing food, which have changed why we've given food at certain times. For example, in 16th and 17th century, complementary foods were introduced like 8 to 9 months, and it was very much you're offering food alongside breastfeeding. If the baby wants it, they're not necessarily going to take a lot. And then you fast forward then to like the 1930s, and you've got companies suddenly realizing that they can market formula and baby food to parents So everything kind of switches to a more industrialized mm-hmm. way of looking after your baby. And we're only really starting to see research in the last few years. Like I said, the guidance changed in 2001. So sort of since then, there's been quite a lot of research to back off sticking at 6 months
mm-hmm.
as the earliest time to introduce food. And there is a lot of research, but it's finding it in the right places. Yeah. And often if you're on sort of a message board or, you know, these forums and things like that, you'll have a lot of people giving their own opinions mm-hmm. and their own experiences. And that's really helpful. But it's also worth just looking at what the actual guidance is and, yeah. and looking at the reputable sources as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's so important. But I just love that word complementary. I love the thought that if that was offered to parents, it could take a lot of pressure off them. If it was, you know, solid starts are meant to be complementary alongside a baby's milk intake, and I think that would just change so much. I just, you know, wonder how that might make breastfeeding mums feel whenever they're approaching those 6 months and pressure's building to introduce solids, and those feelings and those emotions of concern of how their breastfeeding journey is going to change if the narrative was, this is complementary, this is going to be an add-on to your breastfeeding journey, something that you can enjoy alongside each other, rather than it being this is the beginning of the end, which I think is what so many women feel.
Yeah, that introducing solids means then you have to wind up breastfeeding. You know, it's a way for you to get to a point where you're not breastfeeding anymore. Mm-hmm. It's that path that you're taking. So you're introducing the solids, so automatically you're reducing your feeds, and then by the time the baby gets to one, well, they're not going to need breast milk anymore.
Yeah,
and you're done. And that's really unfair, and it's really so minimizing for women who have made the decision to breastfeed, who have worked hard mm-hmm. to get their breastfeeding journey off to a good start, who have put themselves in a position of, we're doing this until it's not right for us anymore. And then you're just saying, oh, well, your feelings don't matter. It's mm-hmm. just completely dismissive. It doesn't have to be like that. And it's very, very much about, like, say, like changing the conversation around
mm-hmm.
introducing solids and making it a part of or alongside breastfeeding.
Yeah.
And just see how it goes.
Exactly.
I think there's a huge amount of pressure as well when the 1 year mark comes mm-hmm. up and women are going back to work and they've been breastfeeding, and there's very much a narrative there of, well, you wouldn't want to be breastfeeding while they're in daycare.
Mm-hmm.
It's too much trouble to pump at work, or you know, it puts whoever's minding your child, it puts them in a very difficult position.
How are they going to console your child?
Yeah.
Well, we'll figure it out.
There's a lot of things in there that, you know, they don't need to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked on other podcasts about how, you know, that transition, that change of going back to work is also a really big step for mm-hmm. parents too. And there's quite a lot that goes on in those few months.
Yeah. It's a really heavy period, isn't it? You just get everything settled and you're starting to find your feet, and then, oh, it's introducing solids. And then if you're returning to work, you know, it's tunnel vision from that kind of 6 month point on, and all you can see is that. And so much transition for that mum and for that child that I don't think there's ever given any consideration to what that actually feels like.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that I think a lot of people have opinions on, but the opinions don't really need to be said out loud.
No.
So the main things that we're talking about here are when you're introducing solids, that really try and put as least pressure on yourself mm-hmm. as possible. Try and tune out all the noise of other people's opinions, the things that you should be feeding your child. If they will only eat carrots, just go with that for a while and just let them get used to that. You know, you can gradually introduce things. There's really no need to introduce every single taste
mm-hmm.
in the first few weeks.
Yeah.
You know, think about what's right for your family and what do you normally eat? What you're introducing them to the culture of your family, because mm-hmm. food is so integral in everybody's life. And, you know, the way that my family eats is different to the way that your family eats. Mm-hmm. And there's so many different layers of things there. And it's really about just thinking about how you want food to be in your own family.
Yeah. You know, going alongside your own emotions and taking it at a pace that feels right for you. Remembering that it should be complementary to breast milk and fit it in, as you said, around what you want.
And this is, again, one of the topics that comes up on our drop-in every mm-hmm. once in a while. So anybody wants to have a chat about it a bit more or talk to other moms about how their experience has been continuing breastfeeding and introducing foods, then we love having you come on and talk about your experience. Mm-hmm. And there's a few people that have really good insights themselves. We've just done it recently, and it's a lovely way for parents to connect.
Mm-hmm.
You've been listening to NCT and I Presents Boobcast with Katie and Kiva. Join us next time for more breastfeeding chat. If you enjoyed this podcast, leave us a review and subscribe. You can follow us on Facebook and Instagram and find out more about our courses on the NCT website. This podcast is brought to you in association with NCT Northern Ireland and funded by the HSC Public Health Northern Ireland Agency.